Good morning. It's Monday, October the 7th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Welcome to a new week. We've got good work to do today and this week. We've got a lot of sowing ahead of us. And let's jump right in with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, But the Israelites Walked. When the Red Sea parts and when it doesn't. Our text is Exodus chapter 14, verses 29 to 31. Hear now the word of the Lord. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. This must be one of the most astonishing sentences in all of the Bible. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The New International Version chose the word went, but the Hebrew word is halak. And there is a better word than went. That word halak means walked. The Israelites walked through the sea. So many of us are in need of some kind of essential deliverance, and yet our experience feels like an unparted sea. The mountain will not seem to move. The cancer is too dug in to leave. The memory loss is not coming back. The depression won't seem to lift. The marriage won't mend this time. The grief of a lost loved one is too much to bear. And so many are facing the Red Sea of the end of life, and though you are prepared to pass through, you aren't ready to let go. Recently, I visited with an aging man coming to the end of his days. He was hopeful, yet deeply discouraged at the same time. I asked him, "Do you want faith to live or courage to die?" He whispered a shout back, "I want both." We all do, don't we? We want Eden. Meanwhile, we live in exile. We want a better city. Meanwhile, we live in tents. We want a triumphant victory. But whether we win or lose the present battle we are facing, what we must come to grips with is this fact. We have a triumphant God who won the war. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. That's Matthew 28, 6 and 7. As it comes to our many troubles, what we want is the deliverance of a Red Sea success story. What we often get is the struggle of the cross and the story of the empty tomb. A God who struggles as one of us and dies from the cruelty of injustice, and who rises from the dead. We are looking for a triumphant victory from our broken circumstances. What we get is a triumphant God in the midst of them. What if that's the real story of Exodus? It won't take long until the Israelites are grumbling at Moses and pining for Egyptian slavery again. What could have been a 14-day journey into the promised land turned into a 40-year ordeal of feckless, faithless wandering in the wilderness. And what if that's the real story of life? We want everything to work out just like we want it to. And it just doesn't. But we have a triumphant God. No matter how many battles we may lose, he has won the war. It's not the law of averages, but it is the rule of baseball. We are going to win some. We're going to lose some. And some will get rained out. But we keep playing. No matter how many strikeouts, we keep stepping up to the plate and cheering each other on. I'll be honest, I can get really discouraged and even depressed when my Red Sea doesn't part. I need to grow in this area. I go inward and tend to isolate myself. Something I've noticed about my parents and their generation, when they get down and out and discouraged about their circumstances and situations, they go help somebody else who is struggling. Though the waters might not be parting in their situation, they always manage to be part of someone else's deliverance. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. It's what I love about this Hebrew word, halak. At the end of the day, that's what we're doing, isn't it? We are walking each other home. Whether the Red Sea parts for us this time or not, none of us are getting out of here alive. But every single one of us has the opportunity every single day to help walk somebody home. The prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. As you gave up the brutal struggle that was your life, with your final breath from the cross, you spoke the words, "It is finished," as the curtain tore in the temple from top to bottom, rending the veil between heaven and earth. The Red Sea of all eternity was parted, opening the way through the wall of water of sin on the one side and the wall of water that was death on the other. deliver me from my feckless, faithless mentality as I face what feels like Red Sea challenges in my life, and deliver me into the resilience of the Holy Spirit, who trains my spirit to stand on the ultimate victory in the face of my temporary struggles, hardships, losses, and disappointments, and lead me to someone whom I can help walk a few miles on the journey home today. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
I think I'm beginning to hear a few more people out there singing that with me. I know I'm not singing a solo. I'm not a soloist, guys. I'm not even a singer, okay? I'm a worshiper, and that's what I'm counting on you to be too. So it doesn't matter if you can sing or not. Doesn't matter if you like to sing or not. We're singing out here on the wake-up call, and I want to hear you. Okay? I want to hear you. This will change your spirit if you'll do it. Let's go to the journal prompts today. So, are you more like me in the face of an unparting sea, allowing discouragement or despair to take over? Or are you more like my parents, getting up and going to help someone else in their struggle? How can we encourage each other to grow? How can we do better at walking each other home? We're going to sing here in a minute. We're going to sing the hymn. It's called Near to the Heart of God. It's got three verses. It's number 357 in our Seedbed Hymnal, our Great Redeemer's Praise, 357. So we got that to look forward to before we hit the fields. You might want to look it up, put your thumb in the page. Near to the Heart of God, 357. I'm hoping some of you also are deciding to go ahead and take the plunge and order one of these hymnals. We're putting a link in the email every day to get a copy. And you know what? People sometimes send me hymn requests, and I just want you to know, I can't promise we'll sing it, but I welcome you to invite us to sing a certain hymn. So all you got to do is reply to this email and just tell me the page number and the hymn name, and we'll put it on the list. Someday, maybe we'll get together online and do a hymn sing. Wouldn't that be fun? Some of you are thinking, that's going to be a hard pass for me. That's okay. That's okay. We'll see. Well, I don't know. We've had a lot of coverage of the Red Sea parting and the Israelites walking through and the Egyptians being drowned. And we've talked around that several different ways. I just felt like today we might just need to sort of hit the other side of it, like, you know, we just did when the Red Sea doesn't part. And all of us have that experience. And it's discouraging. But we got to keep on walking. And we've got to gain eternal perspective. That's what I love about that text. And I guess it's 2 Corinthians 4, where it says, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Okay? That's a lot of Red Sea not parting moments that Paul is talking about right there. And he keeps on going and he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us and eternal glory which far outweighs them. So, he says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is passing away, but what is unseen is eternal. And I just want to encourage you today. You know, some of us are just facing the diagnosis that we just can't bear to hear, but it's come to us. And we got to get back up and we got to keep walking. In fact, go find somebody to help walk home today. You know, we're walking each other home. That's what we're doing here. And that's what Exodus is about. They're walking each other home. They're walking each other to the promised land. And it's a long road. And it's full of wins. It's full of losses. It's full of rainouts. But friends, it's full of God. It's full of the glory of God. And we got to help each other to see that, to feel that, to experience that, to know God in the midst of it all. Let's sing together. You ready? There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. Amen. Well, it is Monday, and we're already on our way. All right? Just know, that's what we're coming up against today. We're gonna run into some people who are winning. We're going to run into some people who are losing. And we're going to run into some people who are trying to get a rain check. We're walking each other home. We're coming alongside. We're saying, Lord, how are you encouraging this soul today? Wish I had more time, I'd begin to start pitching Ivan Philby's new book, which is, I don't know if it's released or just releasing. Somehow I got a copy. I saw it at New Room. It's called Speak Tenderly. It's a book about the gift of prophecy. And the gift of prophecy is something that the Bible tells us to eagerly desire, because the gift of prophecy is this gift whereby the Holy Spirit comes in and actually speaks through us a particular kind of encouraging word to someone else to let them know. It's a way of like God winking and smiling and saying, I see you in particularity. Not just this general sense of I'm with you, but I see you and I've got you. We'll talk more about that book later, but Speak Tenderly is the name. Ivan Philby, of course, is a president of Seedbed, and boy, what a man of God, and what an encourager. All right. I could keep going. Get your seeds, friends. It's still Monday. We got Monday sowing to do. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.